the preconception in our society, in most societies, is that you reach a certain point in life and you're beyond that. That's kind of the what you hear. Well, they're beyond that. You know, they, if they meet somebody, it's cute. It's not real love anymore, because love is about youth and romance. And but I think the ageist idea is wrong in a lot of ways, because it ignores, like, you know, why would we be beyond that when we're grown up and we have a parent and siblings and family who holds us and touches us, and then we go out in the world and find a partner. A lot of us get married and we have relationships. Why at some point in life do you cross a line and not need that anymore? As human beings, we thrive when we're connected, when we're touched and we're understood and seen by another person. So definitely there's an ageist preconception that love changes. I think, just to add a little bit to that, I think what changes is that the assumptions that come with what love is when we're young, which has to do more with family and housing and education and career and children, and we layer so much on top of it that we don't realize that underneath, love is about being seen and understood by another human being. And as we get older and some of the other stuff, you know, is taken away, what remains is the same, that we don't, loneliness is not a great option. We, as human beings, we strive to be seen by another person and to share our lives with them. And, you know, that's something that our society and most societies around the world, I've seen in 14 countries, they're all coming to terms with. As people get older, they're not changing inside the way we think that they are.
Actually, what you just talked about, you know, sort of the need for interaction, et cetera, there's a medical reason, you know, health and wellness, both physical health and mental health, connection with, you know, on the one side, people who are isolated being really negative, and on the other side, people who have people around them and to live for, et cetera, have more positive health outcomes.
When we screened the film in Portland, Oregon, which was America's first age-friendly community, I was told by the man who was really in charge of that whole program that loneliness is the single key factor that has to be addressed to make a city or a society age friendly, because it underlies everything else. It underlies our health, our outlook, our mental health, our ability to cope with things, to get things done. I mean, everything that we think of as our whole healthcare system, which we put, you know, tons of money and resources into, really is just an overlay of how we feel inside, the connection we feel to other people inside, and the need to feel connected. When we're connected, we feel healthier. We have more opportunities in life to grow and to be strong and to accomplish what we want. And when we're alone, it just feeds into our sense of aging and depression and all of the stereotypes that come with age. So it really is an issue, I think, that we have to consider more primary than we have. It's not a secondary issue in aging.
Do you think that this is getting better, just, you know, overall attitudes, and again, whether that's from without, other people seeing their relatives or friends, or within, that as we reach the 70s, 80s, whatever, that we're more open to do things? Is it improving, maybe partially because of the baby boomer generation?
Yeah, I think it has to improve just because of the numbers. The demographics are shifting everywhere in the world, not just in America. 65 and older is the fastest growing generation. 85 and older is growing even faster. You know, when I was a kid, there were three generations. There was retirement, a few golden years, and that was it. But now, you know, there's people who are productive and living and growing so much longer. Their voices are starting to be heard. You know, they don't want to sit and be treated the same way as their grandparents were. They need to feel validated and in the world as long as they live. So, you know, certainly that whole attitude is shifting. And I think the speed dating event in the movie shows it. We've, in conjunction with screening the film, I've helped 200 communities so far around the world set up speed dating events, because people see the movie and they go, well, how can we do that? That seems fun for the people in the movie, but now what? So my goal was to bring change to communities, to people's lives on the ground all over the world. And we've had many relationships and weddings that have come out of it. And I'm starting to see a sort of a consciousness and there's a lot of speed dating events that I'm not involved in that are being set up, both to engage older people as well as to change conversations in communities and among younger people. When they see this happening, they might laugh at it, but they talk about it and they realize that there's a need for something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that must be both very gratifying and encouraging that you really got